Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we're pleased to be joined by Jeff Cressman, a board member and manager of the Dairy Sheep Cooperative. We'll be talking about the growing dairy sheep sector and the work of the cooperative in supporting its members.
Welcome, Jeff, and thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself? When did you start milking sheep, and how large is your farm operation now?
Well, we started milking sheep in the fall of 2013. It was actually right around the farm show was the first time we started milking way back then. And we started milking then, and we had our ups and downs over the years, a lot to learn. And over time, we got a little more established, and now we are milking about 250 ewes, and we're on our way to about 500.
Wow.
So, Jeff, can you tell us about a sheep dairy operation? And are there as many ways to approach milk production as there are ways to produce lambs? And maybe you can speak to some of the key components of a dairy sheep operation.
So on a dairy sheep operation, one of the main differences, especially comparing to meat flock, is we have a parlor, we milk them, and there are, as far as variety, I mean, there are people with parlors that are pit parlors with cement, sheep kind of walk in level ground. Other people will have stands where the sheep climb, you know, walk up a ramp into the parlor. Those are generally made of steel. Some farmers, depending on the processes you're shipping to, some farmers will freeze the milk in pails and buckets, and others will more traditionally put it in a bulk tank and picked up by a milk truck, which is what the co-op, how the co-op operates. I would say most flocks, dairy flocks, are in a housed confinement system. There are some that have a larger capacity component. There are a few dairy breeds. One of the more common ones traditionally is the East Friesian. They're more the Holstein of the sheep. Though a breed that's becoming more popular now has been the Lacone. They're a French breed. They're a little more hardy, and they have good milk production as well. There's the British milk sheep, and there are British milk sheep around Ontario. There's a few other breeds throughout the world. However, none of those are here in Ontario, to my knowledge.
So you're building a new barn, right? So what is your setup sort of now, and where are you going with it?
We built the new barn 3 years ago, and now we're expanding the new barn. So we have a parlor, a cement parlor, double 28 rapid exit. So we can put 56 ewes in the parlor at a time. And I figure we can milk probably about, well, it depends how many people we have in the parlor, but we can probably milk by yourself probably 150 an hour with two or three people. You can probably get up to 300 an hour.
Wow.
Parlor. And yeah, so we're expanding the barn to basically, we built the milk room, the parlor, the nursery, kind of all that infrastructure there. And then we made the barn smaller, kind of because COVID prices are going up. So we didn't need all the space right away. So we shortened the barn, and now we're adding on what we shortened it, but we're also adding an extra for space for lambs.
And
so everything, when we're done, everything will be in under one roof.
And do most producers milk year round, or are some still seasonal?
Both. Most milk year round, and that's generally the way the industry is trending. I mean, generally speaking, processors want consistent milk supply as much as possible. Different products do have a peak season. For example, a feta cheese product is generally enjoyed more in a salad, which is generally enjoyed in summertime more than wintertime. So there are some seasonalities to the product side of it, but for the most part, processors want to see consistency. And so most would milk year round. There are still some that do dry off in the kind of wintertime, would dry off kind of November-ish, October, November, and then start lambing again in the January, February, March, and the springtime.
Wow. So you and some other producers have been shipping sheep milk for a few years, but then you decided to form a cooperative. Can you tell us a little bit about how you approached developing the co-op and why you chose that co-op structure?
Yeah, so there's a group of us who have been shipping to Shepherd Gourmet Dairy / Saputo. Saputo bought them out a few years ago. And basically, over the last 3 or 4 years, our internal growth was faster than Saputo's growth. And so they were really good about it. They took milk and built up a big stock until they finally said, okay, we can't take anymore. We got to slow down here a little bit, which is fair. And up until that point, if you were a processor and you wanted access to sheep milk, you pretty much had to find a farmer trying to start up. And it's hard to find sheep milk because as a farmer, you needed to find a market for your milk. And so you had to then find a processor looking for milk and you know, the stars kind of have to line, so to speak. And so when Saputo cut us back as a group, we decided that, you know, this gives us opportunity to look elsewhere to move some milk. And this would be the first time a processor had milk, sheep milk available by, truckload. Mm-hmm. And so that opened some doors that previously weren't available. So, I mean, we started in a sense just to move milk so we didn't have to cut back. And then one of our members, Willis, he owns and runs a milk truck, does the trucking for us. And so he acted as the broker essentially for all the milk going other places. And that just gets complicated really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the most sense for us to organize ourselves in some sort of structure, help us move forward, help the industry move forward. And as far as why the co-op has occurred, other structures, partly because no one wanted to be the individual broker. No one seemed to, at least people around the table in the discussion, didn't really want to be everyone wanted to be part of it, but no one wanted the sole responsibility. And one of, in our discussions over that kind of first year with, I talked to a few different processors in our discussion with one of them. He said something that kind of stuck with me is that he's saying that we need some skin in the game. We need, he's talking more from an advertising perspective, but if we put some money, some skin in the game, then we have a say in what happens to a product. And so to me, a co-op is in a sense how we're keeping, having some skin in the game, because we have, as a member, I have a vote, I have some control over, what happens with the co-op kind of thing. So yeah, that's kind of how we landed. And yeah, everyone liked the idea of having a vote, having a part of the process, but it wasn't on any just one person either. So,
mm-hmm. So Jeff, are the members all in one area of the province near the processors, and how does the trucking work for the co-op?
So the members, we are kind of spread out through part of the province. We're kind of west of Kitchener-Waterloo, Fergus, Guelph, and up kind of through Arthur, Mount Forest, towards Kincardine, and a lot of us are in that kind of swath in there. Processes are all pretty much outside of that. Down near Woodstock, St. Mary's, Acton, and out towards Lindsay. And so the processes are kind of on the peripheral. And as far as the trucking, so Willis, he runs the trucking company. Now, with the co-op being started and me being involved in managing it, we kind of work between me, Willis, and the driver, Ernest. The three of us kind of work together to work out the runs and where is the milk going? Who wants milk? When? How does the work make sense logistically with the runs and the trucks and stuff?
Excellent. And then tell us about the membership in the co-op. If I were a producer, would I need to have shares that match my production?
Yeah. So there are two types of shares. One is a membership share. That's $100, and that is your vote. That's your voting share. And then on top of that, there are, through a supply agreement, there are shipping shares. And so those shares have to match your production. So it's one share is $100, and that represents 2,000 liters per year of annual production. And the goal is to match, that production within 10%. And so there is some swing and leeway, and you know, as a co-op, we're also not out for a make work project either. So, you know, there's some common sense, you know, with it too.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So how does quality assurance work for the dairy producers? Does the milk get tested regularly?
Yeah, so first off, the drivers of the milk truck, they're trained as bulk tank milk graders. So when the driver comes in to pick up milk, they check temperature, they check smell, odor. There's a few things that they check. And we take sample from each tank, and that sample is put in a cooler, and then that goes along with the truck. As a co-op, we internally through University of Guelph Labs, we test twice a month, randomly sample milk twice a month through the lab to get components, you know, fat, protein, somatic cell, and also bacteria counts. And so those help to dictate quality or tell us kind of what the quality is. And then as a producer, I get paid on my components with protein. And then also there's somatic cell and bacteria count. If those are too high, there's penalties then. Yeah, the process will usually send away like a bulk, a truck sample for testing as well. And then we use that for payment between the co-op and the processor. So there's quality assurances kind of built throughout. And yeah.
So you've talked a little bit about feta cheese having a certain time of year when it gets produced. What other products are made with your sheep milk? We know that you don't do the processing as a cooperative. You sell to processors, but do you have a sense for what they use your milk for and where it goes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a full list of all the products, but feta cheese is one of the main ones, as well as yogurt, both sold in some Costco's, most Costco's, I'm not sure which Costco's, but my local Costco has it in, and also in other stores around too. But yeah, feta cheese is the main one. Plain yogurt is another main one. And then as far as there's various flavors of yogurts and some make harder cheeses like a cheddar. I know the one processor has played around with fluid milk, but he found it was hard to keep fresh with the shelf lives and things, but so not a lot for fluid milk, but it's sheep milk is really good for making cheese.
And I've had sheep ice cream. It's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff, if a producer is interested in milking sheep, where do they get started into this? Is there a large upfront investment that they have to consider, or like what are the first steps?
Yeah. So historically, if, you know, when I started, when I wanted milk cheap, I had to find a market for it. So I had to talk to processors, and that's how I got into this group here. Now with the co-op, you still have to find a market, but the co-op, like it's co-op's responsibility to market the milk. And so, you know, essentially come talk to me at the co-op. And as far as investment, to join the co-op, you're looking at, it's about $100 membership fee and then your shipping share. So if you want to ship 100,000 liters a year annually, that'd be about $5,000. There's a bit of investment there, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a significant investment at all. As far as, you know, as your farm, there is more investment compared to meat cheap. You need a parlor bulk tank, milk system, and all that costs more money than you might like. Now, there's a variability in the level of investment. You know, there's people who have, you know, automated feed system, automated bedding systems, you know, the whole nine yards versus, you know, other people who are on pasture most of the year and you know, have a metal stand where you run up, you know, the sheep run up on kind of thing. So there is a wide range of, you know, what people do. Most farms, at least in the co-op, they generally have a pit parlor built of cement. And so there is some investment in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, you said mentioned people can reach out to you. How can people find you and how can people learn more about the co-op?
Well, you can go to our website, dairysheep.ca. There's an info or there's a contact page on there, but like my email is jeff.cressman@dairysheep.ca. Email is probably good as way. We have a phone number too. So our phone number is 226-476-0620. and yeah, reach out and yeah, reach out and contact us.
Perfect.
So is this opportunity here to stay? What future do you see for the dairy sheep industry in Ontario?
I think the future looks really bright. I mean, I'm expanding my barn, so I fully believe the opportunity is here to stay. We, with our processors, they are generally expanding. And so we are seeing an increased demand for the milk. We're actually now in the process of going through, we have a list of interested people who would like to join the co-op. So we're going through that to try and bring a few more people on board, which is something we haven't been able to do probably in 5 or 6 or 7 years. We haven't really brought anyone new on board. So that's exciting. I think as far as the market goes, like, I don't think we've scratched the surface as far as what our potential market can be. Obviously there's a lot of ups and downs and carts and horses. We got to match demand with supply and it's difficult, especially with a new member coming on. If they decide they want to go ahead today, it probably takes a good 2 years before you're ever producing any milk. Time you go through the process if you need to build. I mean, that takes time to talk to banks and builders and then do the actual building. And, you need to get your livestock, which there are people who do milk meat sheep, but they don't milk the same as a dairy breed, both in quantity of production and as well as milkability. The dairy sheep breeds are generally speaking a lot calmer. And so just breeding stock availability is better than it used to be, but it's not like the meat side of it where there seems to be a lot more availability. So all that takes time. It's different than milking cows, probably more similar to milking goats, milking sheep, but there's still a bit of a learning curve too in how to do it and what best practices and things. And there's not a lot of research or official research done. So a lot of it is kind of trial and error. So that just takes time to learn. And
well, thank goodness there's a co-op now for people to learn from. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday to hear from our 2023 Sheep and Wool Ambassador, Lauren Cowan.
Join us for the Ultimate Ontario Sheep Convention and AGM on October 25th and 26th, 2024 at the Cambridge Hotel Conference Center. This year's theme is Unlocking Profit Potential, and we've got a new format. The AGM kicks off Friday afternoon, followed by a banquet that evening. The convention continues Saturday with keynote speaker Dr. Mark Ferguson from NextGen Agri, and we'll have two satellite locations this year in Eastern Ontario and Northern Ontario. Register by October 2nd for early bird pricing. Don't miss out. Visit ontariosheep.org/2024AGM to secure your spot. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts for future episodes, and please consider sharing this episode with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, at Ontario Sheep on X, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.